live.
Same.
And in stereo. No, not in stereo. What's podcast considered? No, yeah, we're recording stereo audio this week.
I'm recording mono.
Oh, shit. Are we supposed to be recording mono?
I've started recording in mono just to save file space.
Well, it's too late. We've already begun.
Oh, okay.
Kind of.
Oh, whatever. I can work with this.
You know what? Today I was thinking.
Yeah.
On my way home from work.
Yeah.
If you started a band of, like, people that play D&D a lot all started a band together.
Yeah.
Could they just call themselves something like a pun off of, like, bards? Just like, we're the Bard Boys. You know what? That band would also get bonus points in my book if they dressed up in, like, old-timey adventuring gear. I think that would be fantastic. You know what?
Yeah.
I'm TMing this right now. This is copyright. Circle C, dude. That copyrighted, and I'm going to start that band someday.
Okay.
The Bard Boys. Here we come.
Yeah, what was I doing?
We were doing a cold open for Ad Hominem, the podcast of illogical debate, coming straight at you through your eardrums. Boom.
Crap, I didn't realize we'd started.
Hey, once the recording starts, I am in character, and I am ready for whatever.
Okay.
If we want to do an actual cold open, we can retry this.
No, it's fine. I was just a little unprepared. You're kind of running the show tonight anyway. You came up with the questions.
I did. Like Joel just said, I came up with the questions. And I want to put a preface here before we like actually get into everything. These questions, I've tweeted about this a couple times, but I have a fairly good list of drafts. In my, you know, on my Twitter.
Yeah.
That I just never knew when the right time to, like, post them was. So today, we're going to be arguing about a few of my tweet drafts.
Okay.
Here's my preface. Don't at me. Like.
Or me.
Like, these are definitely just, well, okay, that's a lie. You can at me, but. These are, like, really dumb things that I've thought of. Like, you ever just sitting there and all of a sudden, a thought pops into your head and you have no idea where it came from?
You ever just sit?
Yeah. You ever just sit down and think? That's what I do sometimes. And I decided I'm going to keep a list of them. I decided to keep it in my Twitter drafts because I felt like, you know, someday this information might be pertinent to the world. Might be able to save someone's life. Probably not. But it's my own personal thoughts. And if you don't agree, that's okay. I'm not going to judge you because these few of these are pretty stupid.
Well, thanks for the warning. I'm Joel, one of the hosts. And Austin is the other one.
Yep, here I am.
And this is Ad Hominem, the podcast of illogical debate. We're working on this party game about debating. And we're playing it. A lot. It's fun to do, so we do it every week for you. You're welcome.
We're gonna get into it. We're gonna discuss some more rules. I'm sure if this is your first episode, it's gonna be a wild ride. I'm just gonna say that straight up. If this isn't, you already know everything.
Yeah.
Well, probably not everything, but you know the rules.
Yeah, but like a quick thing on the rules. You know what a logical fallacy is? You don't? Okay, cool. Go look it up. Just like Google the term logical fallacy. It'll take you like 30 seconds. You'll be completely caught up by the time I'm done saying this. Cool, we're there, right? Good. Good job. Dictionary.com saved our lives. So we're going to take these logical fallacies. I've got a list of 30, and we're going to select one at random, and we're going to make an argument where we have to use it. And that's what makes it a party game, sort of.
If it's fun to play with multiple people, it's a party game, in my opinion.
Yes.
That's why Smash is a party game.
Yes. We should debate that question on the show sometime. First, we need to find someone who disagrees.
Oh, Smash is a party game or not? I feel like if you don't have items on in Smash, it can get competitive, but who wants to do that? Items are fun.
Well, apparently a lot of people. That's why No Items Fox Only Final Destination is a meme.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Anyway, we've gone on for a bit now. Why don't we get started?
I am okay with that. So, Joel.
Yeah?
Do you think that in the distant future, somewhere around the 3000s, do you think that people will refer to Fergalicious as classical music? I'm going first.
Yeah?
Yeah, we... Okay.
So...
I think so.
Okay. I think no is an appropriate position for me because I don't actually think I know what this song is now that I'm thinking about it.
Joel, we're going to have a problem.
I'm just stating facts here.
I listened to this song so many times in middle school.
I left middle school 2 years before you did.
Yeah, that's right, you did. But high school is a more appropriate time to listen to Fergalicious, I think.
I didn't.
You but... Okay, did you ever go to like a school dance and they had it playing? Like,
I didn't go to any school dances in my freshman year, I don't think. Maybe my sophomore year. I skipped prom my junior year.
Wait, you skipped prom your junior year?
Yeah, I only went to my senior prom because it was free for seniors.
It was free for seniors? Wow.
Yeah.
I had to pay to go to my freaking senior prom, dude. What are you talking about?
I had to pay to go to my friend's senior prom, but not mine.
Jeez.
And so you're going to have to, like, give me some context on what this song is in your opening argument, I think.
Hold on. Let me...
You may not play the song for your opening argument.
Oh my gosh, come on, man. I just need to see. I just need to see when it came out. Okay, 2006.
Oh, I would have been in middle school when that happened.
Yeah.
No. I would have been in elementary school.
2006? Holy shit. 2006 was 12 years ago, dude. I was 8 when this song came out. Dude, okay, that makes perfect sense, though, because I got my MySpace when I was 9. And by the time I was 10, I fucking had Fergalicious on there.
All right, anyway, start your argument. You've delayed long enough.
Fergalicious, definitious, make them boys go loco. This song was a fantastic treasure trove. And I guarantee you that people will be listening to it for years to come. So far in the distant future of 3000 and whatever, they will refer to it as classical music because, by golly, this is going down in the history books, dude. It is a masterpiece, and it deserves to be in a spot for classical music and classical hits once the time comes.
Honestly, I don't think this song will be a classic in 30 something or 30. It's not going to be a classic in the distant future. I've never heard of it to begin with. It's possible that it could be, but since it's already been forgotten by most people or never even heard of in the first place by a select few like myself, I don't think that come the next 100 years or next century or so, I don't think anyone's going to even care anymore.
You don't get to have an opinion on Fergalicious because you've never listened to it before, okay? It is a fantastic song, and you know what? Musicians back in, like, Mozart's day were considered servants. I guarantee you they thought, you know, no one's ever going to care about this once I'm done, you know? Mozart probably sat there thinking at night, man, ain't nobody going to be listening to this shit. Later on, and here we are. I have to learn about Mozart in school. And you know what? I think it's worth it because it builds up my intelligence. And let me tell you what, Joel, people haven't forgotten about Fergalicious, okay? I am an avid listener of the song. I probably listen to this song, this is not a joke, at least every month or two because I think it's very good.
We still haven't addressed the fact that in the future, we're going to be like a super advanced, refined people. And so chances are good, none of these party songs that we have today will be considered music or art at all. We all know what the future is going to look like. It's either going to be a wasteland where no one has a working radio because there's no electricity. Or it's going to be, we've colonized Mars. Then we'll have Martian music. No one will even think about music that came from 2006. It just won't happen.
See, Joel, take your argument and flip it. We have all these party songs nowadays that people listen to, and classical music and stuff still isn't irrelevant. People still listen to it and everything. People still enjoy it. What makes you think that since the roles are reversed, it's going to be different? See, Joel, I think you're so narrow-minded on this thinking. You just haven't opened up your mind to the great possibilities of Fergalicious being a classical tune. And you are just, you cannot be trusted. And I hate you because this song is amazing. It's beautiful. I love it. This song is delicious enough for me to give it a chef kiss.
Well, you're ignoring the fact that only like 1% of the songs that were cared about in the 60s through 80s, since that's the time before I was born. We'll just use that as a frame of reference. I was alive from the early BCs to the 20s, not alive during the 60s to 80s. You get the idea. Anyway, in the future, we're only going to keep like 1% of the songs that we've kept on record right now. Things like Fergalicious, they just don't sound like the kind of songs that will be kept in the rotation. And I know I'm saying this from a point of ignorance because I've never heard it, but the future is going to be a better place than this song will be able to account for.
Well, guess what, Joel?
What?
Even though this song was made in 06, it's so 2008, and you're just 3,000 and late. God, I should have put that in my closing statement. That's a good reference to another Black Eyed Peas song.
Oh, that's what it is. No wonder I didn't listen to it. I thought that was crap.
Black Eyed Peas song. Wait, what?
I don't like the Black Eyed Peas. I'm sorry.
Goodness. I don't know if Fergalicious was just a Fergie song or if it was made by the Black Eyed Peas, like as a group. Discography. Here we go. Monkey Business came out in 2005. No, it had to have just been a Fergie song.
Okay. Well, whatever. How about instead of, like, going off on tangents like that, you just read us your fallacy?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Forgot we do that. My fallacy was ad hominem. Attack your opponent's character or personal traits to try and undermine their argument.
Okay.
Still can't believe you never fucking heard Fergalicious. I'm going to make you listen to it after we're done with this recording.
Okay. I had begging the question. Make a claim that relies on information that hasn't been proven in order to be true. I know all about the future.
Yeah, sure you do, dude. Oh, man. Hold on, wait. I'm going to read off these titles. Behind the Front, Bridging the Gap, Ella Funk, Monkey Business, The END, and The Beginning. Their albums only had like 6 songs on them. Dude, Boom Boom Pow was released on my birthday in 2009. I've never felt more fucking honored, dude.
Anyway, let's move on.
Do you want me to read off the question?
That was your cue, yes.
Okay, so the question is, if your Game Boy dies and you never replace the batteries, will it be waiting for you in the afterlife? So, Joel, you chose to go first, so that means
yes.
So you think yes, and I say no.
Game Boys, right? A lot of us played them when we were younger. They were, like, the cool and hip and nice thing. Because, like, Game Boy, right? They had the Pokemon games on them. So, of course, that's, like, the only important thing that ever happened on Game Boy. But those things, they needed their batteries. And so, what happens if you let that battery die and you don't change it or charge it? I'll tell you what happens. That counts as a permanent death. It'd be like in Altered Carbon if you shot someone in the memory stack. They don't come back from that. It's like a true death. So, your true death, your Game Boy. Where does it go? Heaven, that's right. Just like everyone else.
Game Boys don't die. Well, they do die. But they don't have a soul. So, I don't know why a Game Boy would go to heaven. Because listen, I've seen the movie All Dogs Go to Heaven, right? I totally believe that. But All Game Boys Go to Heaven? Never even heard of that movie. Don't even think it exists. And I'll tell you what, I have a Game Boy right now that is dead. I don't see its spectral form floating around my apartment anywhere. I don't hear random boops or beeps or the ba-ding startup sound. I don't think it is. Maybe it's just not haunting me, but I've never experienced a true Game Boy death. In the sense that it has a soul.
You're just ignoring a big factor here. Game Boys only truly die when there's no one left to charge them. If you don't charge your Game Boy and then you die, then it's just dead. That's when its soul leaves its body. Until then, it hangs in there and haunts the Game Boy. It's not going to disturb you. What do you think? It's some kind of monster? No, it's not a haunted doll. It's a Game Boy. It doesn't get haunted, obviously. It just doesn't die unless it's completely smashed, not in the alcoholic sense, or it just never gets charged again. But it will leave with you when you go to heaven, because it's a dedicated pet. And like you said, all dogs go to heaven.
See, Joel, you said they'll be truly dead when there's no one left around to charge them. But what if I leave my Game Boy to my niece in my will or something? Then she'll be around to charge it. And then what? Then what? Where is my Game Boy in the afterlife, huh? Not there. And it's not gonna be there. And I don't see why if a Game Boy dies, it would haunt itself or stay there itself. I mean, I don't see it. I mean, I haven't personally taken like an EMF reader and hovered it over my Game Boy, but I mean, it doesn't feel cold when I pick it up. It doesn't make spooky noises. It's just an inanimate object. There's no way it goes to the afterlife or the great beyond or heaven. I mean, why would you think that? I've never seen anybody talk about that. Show me the episode of The Ghost Whisperer where she talks to a Game Boy, and I'll believe you.
Austin, it sounds to me like you are fixated on this ghost thing. Do you believe in ghosts or something? Do you think that ghosts are a real thing? Ghosts are fake. What are you on about? Ghosts are not real. They don't haunt things because they don't exist. Your Game Boy soul will not leave its Game Boy body until it is actual true death. It won't achieve true death until you no longer are around to charge it, in which case it will go to heaven with you. You're going to leave it to your grandniece or whatever? What the heck is your problem? You want to have this Game Boy suffer through a new owner who probably won't respect it because bad graphics? What is wrong with you?
See, Joel, that's why I will teach my niece to, not my grandniece, I don't know where you got that from. I will teach her to respect the console. May not have the best graphics, but goodness gracious, it is where we started, you know? It's the OG. Personally, I'm indifferent towards the whole ghost thing. Like I said, I've never experienced a ghost myself, but I've heard stories, and I actually don't really believe those stories. I don't know. I don't think I believe in ghosts, Joel. That's why I don't think your Game Boy will follow you to the afterlife. I don't think it'll be there in heaven either. If you do go up to heaven, pretty sure God would just slap you with a new one and be like, check this one out, works just fine.
I don't know. I think in heaven, God will probably have for you the Nintendo X Station.
The Nintendo X Station.
No need for any of this platform division.
We are here to announce a new product. It's the Playbox Switch. You can play Dark Souls on all of it, actually. The whole thing.
Well, yeah, it's one device.
But here's the kicker. You have to have Dark Souls from the PlayStation 4, the Xbox One, and the Nintendo Switch to play it on the PlayX Switch. Or the Playbox Switch, whatever I said.
I guess that makes sense, because like a lot of these games nowadays have like console exclusive content. So if you want to do your crossplay, but you want to use the Nintendo controls, but still have the PS4 exclusive content for Monster Hunter World, then obviously you're going to have to get the PS4 version as well.
Absolutely.
Anyway, my fallacy was loaded question. Ask a question phrased to make your opponent look bad for answering whether or not it supports their claim.
Was that the do you believe in ghosts question?
That was my entire closing argument. Every single question I asked in that.
That's pretty good. I was really confused. My fallacy was anecdote. Use personal experiences or isolated examples as evidence instead of supplying research to support your claim, which I felt I felt like it worked really well because there is no research to support this claim at all.
Of course not. Why would there be?
I don't know. Somebody's bound to do it. If this podcast ever picks up a ton of steam, there's going to be one of our fans just going to be like, you know what? I'm going to fucking do it. I'm going to find out.
All Game Boys go to heaven.
Somebody make that movie now, please. Just make all dogs go to heaven, but just Photoshop a Game Boy onto all the dogs' faces.
TM.
TM. That's it. We're doing it.
You got to buy it from us.
Upload that fan art. Boom. Slap a Game Boy on there.
You got to buy it from us. But if you do it, we will sell it to you.
If you have the audacity to edit an entire film and match Game Boys to the dog's faces, I will personally give you a hug. That is not a lie either. If somebody does that, I will personally meet you somewhere and I will give you a hug for like a solid minute.
Pick the darkest alley you can find for this hug. Trust me.
Please, it'll add please to the don't. Feeling. In a public place, please, for the love of God.
Yeah.
I don't want to get stabbed or robbed.
No, you won't get stabbed or robbed for hugging someone in a dark alley. What are you talking about?
That's not what my mom told me.
See, all of the positive emotions will make the robbers and muggers think, aw, I can't mess with that. And then they'll leave you alone.
You think so? I don't think that's how that works.
I know that's how it works. Anyway, we moving on now?
Yeah, I think so.
Hey, Austin, what's happening right now in your area?
Let me look out the window here. It's kind of cloudy. It's kind of cold outside. And that's what's
yeah, I just checked the weather forecast, and you know what it said?
What'd it say?
It said it's cloudy with a 100% chance of we're down to it.
Oh my goodness. Crazy.
So, we're getting ready for our final debate now, but first, a word from our sponsors.
We have sponsors now?
No, but if we did, this is where they would go.
Oh my goodness. I was like, Joel, did you not tell me? So, next question is, if someone went back in time and changed the course of history, would our memories be changed along with it? And would we know that somebody changed the course of history?
See, I believe in many worlds theories and ultimate timeline and crap, so I don't think we'd actually notice. I don't think anything would actually change if someone changed history for the me that is talking right now, okay. Anyway.
So I decided to go first, which means that I believe...
Okay. Oh, okay. So my actual world views match my thing that I have to argue
here. I believe that if somebody went back in time and changed the course of history, we would never know, and that, yes, our memories would be changed. And then, so Joel would believe that nothing would be changed, and everything would just kind of, like, stay the same.
Basically.
Yeah, like, alternate timelines and stuff. That's a lot of science to get into.
Yeah. Science. I'm cutting that. There's no way that's going in the episode.
You're gonna fucking leave it in the episode? Because I listened to, which one was it? I can't remember which one it was, but you left in at like the very end of the episode after the outro music, you left in me saying, I'm dead on the inside, might as well be dead on the outside too, or something like that.
Yeah, you said I could do that.
I don't remember saying that.
I have the original audio files somewhere.
You know, probably. I wouldn't it's put evidence. It past myself to say that, but oh, dang it. You know, I just remembered.
That we're recording?
Yeah, well, that, and also the other day my mom asked me what my podcast was, and I was like, shit, this is it. This is where she finds out that I'm a complete idiot. Mom, if you're listening, I'm so sorry.
Well, my mom's been listening off and on since our first episode.
What a dedicated mom, dude. You know, shout out to Joel's mom. What a good person.
Yeah, thanks, Mom. Although, honestly, I think she listened to, like, episode 1, and then she tuned in for episode 5, and I don't know if she's listened since then. I haven't asked. Okay.
Here's the thing. I don't even know if my mom is listening. I just know she asked me about it one day, and I told her what it was.
In an alternate reality, we actually stayed on track.
In this world, time travel does not exist. Or does it? Do we know? Now, here's the thing. If it does exist, which is what we're going off of for this argument, and somebody went back in time to, you know, change the past, we wouldn't know. All of our memories would be changed. Let's say somebody went back in time and became Alexander Hamilton or something, right? Boom. Now we have all these memories of, like, Alexander Hamilton and then the musical that came from Alexander Hamilton himself. But who are we to say that Alexander Hamilton actually existed the first time around? And somebody just didn't go back in time, become Alexander Hamilton, and then change our minds.
All right, so you're working off the assumption that if someone goes back in time and changes something, that we'll never know because our memories will be reset? Here's the thing. Let's just go off your example here. Let's say Lin-Manuel Miranda himself goes back in time and starts parading around as this dude named Alexander Hamilton. So he's back there. He's doing the stuff. Here's the thing. The past is already set in stone. You can't change it even if you travel back there. You can only play the part that's already set by our history. Let's say, by some miracle, you do actually manage to change the past. You won't, but let's say you do. It's not going to affect anything in the world you came from. You're just going to create an alternate timeline.
See, I like the idea that you're putting out that Lin-Manuel Miranda is Alexander Hamilton. See, that's interesting because in the musical, he says, "You have no control who lives, who dies, or who tells your story." And I think that'd be pretty fucking ironic, huh? I don't see where you're coming from with this whole alternate universe thing that's being created because of time travel. I don't see why that would be a thing. Like, where's your proof? See, I don't need proof, kind of, because, like, our memories will be changed, and then, boom, we automatically don't know. And we are just, you know, floundering around, just not truly understanding the universe, but understanding what goes on here in the world. And everything that has been changed has just been, you know, all of our memories, just, boom, gone, boom, loaded up with new ones.
Past is set. You can't change it. It's unchangeable. The only thing that you can attempt to achieve by going back in time is confirming history as it happened, and maybe playing a part you didn't realize you always had in the timeline. The future is the only thing you can change, not the past. So in the future, there's something that could be happening right now that's not set in stone, which I could change, by, I don't know, stopping this recording and walking away right now with a mic drop. But I'm not going to drop this mic, because it's a Yeti.
How do you know that you can't change the past? We wouldn't know, because our memories would be changed, dude. I don't think you're understanding my argument here. And I don't think you've given me any evidence against it. Back to your whole Lin-Manuel Miranda thing. If he goes back in time, creates an alternate timeline where he is Alexander Hamilton, how's he going to come to our future? Or is this the alternate timeline? I don't understand where your reasoning is here. So if we are the alternate timeline, what happened in the original timeline? Does Lin-Manuel Miranda not exist in another universe? I don't know. That's what it's easier to think about. Your memories will just be changed. I just don't see where you're coming from, dude. I need some solid evidence. I need some proof.
I think that you are misunderstanding me here. I'm not saying that Lin-Manuel Miranda will go back in time and create an alternate timeline in which he is Alexander Hamilton. I'm saying that Lin-Manuel Miranda went back in time to make his play the truth, to ensure that his play happened, because through some strange twist of fate, he learned he was actually Alexander Hamilton. So it is his destiny to go back and do that. Have you ever played Quantum Break? No, of course not. No one on this podcast has ever played any good games beside me. So you obviously don't know the rules of time travel, because that game gives the real rules for time travel. Quantum Break is the reality of time travel.
Also, listen here, bucko. I played some good games.
Wait, that was the end, right? And
I literally clutched my chest and I was like, oh, shock.
Yeah, I guess that's true. You played Borderlands. Yeah, dude.
I've been on a Borderlands kick. I need to beat the first one, but in the past couple weeks, I've beaten...
Dude, I don't own the first one.
If you had an Xbox 360, I would lend it to you.
Well, I've got Steam, and I think you can get it on there.
It's probably like 10 bucks on Steam or something.
I don't know. Maybe summer break or something. I'll try and get it and beat it.
It's a very good game.
Go ahead and read your fallacy.
My fallacy was burden of proof. Say that it isn't your job to find proof to support your claim, but it's your opponent's job to find proof against it.
Yeah, okay. I heard you trying to do that.
Yeah, I wasn't sure with the way the argument was playing out.
It's never possible to know how this is going to go down.
That's true. That's what makes it so fun.
I had false cause, saying that a correlation real or perceived between two phenomena equals an association between them. And the only thing I could think of is to throw in where I was getting my rules for time travel from at the very end. Like, I was racking my brain the whole time to try and work this in.
You could have pulled, like, literally anything. You could have pulled, like, Doctor Who, fucking The Sound of Thunder.
I've never watched Doctor Who.
You've never seen Doctor Who?
No. What Sound of Thunder?
Okay, I can understand not watching Doctor Who, but, like, you've never, like, went to public school at all? The Sound of Thunder. The one where the guys, like, go back in time to hunt dinosaurs, and this dude, like, steps off the path and kills a butterfly, and he changes, like, all of history and blah, 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 all that stuff?
Nope.
Really?
No. And besides that, I doubt if you killed a butterfly in dinosaur times, it would mean anything, because, yeah, you might change the dinosaur history, but, like, the meteor is still going to come. Okay. And it's still going to burn up all the oxygen in the atmosphere.
Have you never heard of the butterfly effect? Joel.
Yeah, but once the apocalypse hits, everything that happened up to that point doesn't matter to the post-apocalypse world.
I guess.
And that's my thoughts on that.
Well, you guys heard it here first, folks. Joel doesn't believe in the butterfly effect.
No, I believe in the butterfly effect. I just think that once an event like the world-ending meteor hits, anything that may have changed by time travel interference doesn't matter anymore.
I guess. I mean, that does actually make sense, kind of.
Yeah, let's move on, though. So that's going to do it for us, folks. Thanks for listening, as usual. It's been a pleasure to have you.
Is that all we got? That's nice, short and sweet. I like that one.
You can, as always, find us on Twitter at Incitement Games. We're trying to get, like, this multimedia company thing going, and so we gotta have that company page doing something. It's doing ad hominem polls at this point, basically, but like the polls are important because audience involvement is important to us.
We also rely heavily on audience involvement, so if you want to be an active community member, tweet using the hashtag ad hominem cast. I don't know if we've said that in a couple episodes.
You can also come onto Facebook, and we've got this thing called the Group of Illogical Debate, which is a discussion group for the game and the podcast. We're trying to make a party game here, people. Come party with us.
Yes, you can also find Joel or me personally on Twitter. My Twitter is at Austin Irwin. That's capital A and a capital E for Irwin, not I.
Take my name, Joel Holland. Spell it backwards. You'll get Danilo Lioge. And you can find that on Twitter. Remember, folks, debates aren't about proving your point. They're about asserting dominance over your opponent.
Cue the outro music.